This is one of the nuttiest stories that I've actually heard in a very long time.
An unlikely pair.
He's clearly younger than you are.
I have friends of all ages, Your Honor.
You have friends of all ages who were recovering drug addicts?
Or are they two of a kind?
One night I was at a bar and I met Miss Rennie there, kind of just like flirting with me a little bit.
At a bar. He clearly wasn't recovered while he was living in your basement with your two teenage children.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Deborah Rennie is suing her former tenant, George Alex Martinez, for unpaid rent and a loan to pay for a doctor's visit.
Order. All rise.
It's case number 74 on the calendar in the matter of Rennie versus Martinez.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Miss Rennie, Mr. Martinez is a friend of yours. You claim that he owes you for some rent and for medical bills. I have a couple of preliminary questions for you. I want you to describe your home to me.
It's a 100-year-old colonial.
Who lives there with you?
I live there with my two teenage children, my son and my daughter.
How old are they?
My daughter is 19 and my son is 15.
Is it a one-family house?
Correct.
How long have you lived there?
22 years.
In the last 5 years, other than your two teenage children, has anybody lived with you?
I had a friend stay in the basement at one point.
Other than that, in the 22 years that you've lived there, nobody stayed in the basement. Is that correct?
Only to sleep over for a night if right. they didn't want to drive home.
That is not a legal apartment.
No, it is not.
Oh, okay. So when you invited the defendant to move into your basement, you could not actually charge him rent.
It wasn't actually rent. It was more like for food and water, basically.
That's not what you said in your complaint. Your last line says he needs to pay me for the rest of the rent he owes and for the medical bills I paid for so he could get his medication.
Correct.
All right, so now we've already determined that the court can't help you with rent because this is an illegal apartment and courts don't enforce illegal agreements. Even if he had an agreement to pay you rent in the apartment, you had an illegal basement apartment for which you couldn't charge rent. Now let's get to the medical bill. First, I'd like to know how you know Mr. Martinez.
We became friends in early 08.
You became friends in early 08. How? He's clearly younger than you are.
Well, we met.
He's clearly younger than you are. So, you have a friendship. You usually have friendship with a contemporary. I'd like to know how you became friendly with Mr. Martinez.
I have friends of all ages, Your Honor.
Well, that's interesting. You have friends of all ages who were recovering drug addicts?
Some.
Some. Interesting. With your two teenage children, 19 and 15?
Yes.
Really?
Recovering is the key word. If they were addicted, I wouldn't have them as friends.
Well, I want to know how it came about that you had Mr. Martinez, who was far from recovering, because part of the medical bills you're asking for is medical bills to get him off prescription pills. So he clearly wasn't recovered while he was living in your basement with your two teenage children.
He started taking the pills while he was living there.
Well, according to you, he had lived there, and according to him, he had lived there on and off for much more than just February, March, and April. Did he ever stay in any place other than the basement?
No.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that correct, Mr. Martinez?
Sometimes I'd crash on the couch, or if she wasn't there, I'd sleep upstairs in a different room.
I want to know how you met her.
Okay, yeah. Basically, we both live in a small town, and, bars, restaurants. I'm a young guy. I like to go out with my friends and hang out. One night I was at a bar where we all hang out, and I met Miss Rennie there.
At a bar?
At a bar.
And
we basically started talking. I remember it was raining. She sat next to me, and she asked me how old I was. It made a joke as to the fact that I looked too young to be in the bar. I showed her my ID, and, we joked about it. She said, "You don't look your age, whatever. I'm a little older." So we started talking, and we basically hit it off. That was it. And we hung out from there, on and off. But basically, I would say, when I was out with my friends, I was out with my friends. And if we saw each other, I kind of was just like, "Hey, how you doing?"
How did it come about that you went to stay in her basement?
Well, I told her that, I told her I needed a place to stay, and...
Did you tell her that when your friends were there?
No, I told her when I was at her house.
So you used to go and hang out at her house?
Yes, correct.
Tell me about the pills.
Basically, one day...
I don't want to hear basically. Just tell me, what about the pills?
Okay. I had a hangover one day at work. A friend of mine gave me a pill. I was thinking it was like a Tylenol or something. It actually turned out to be Vicodin. And
so your friend, to help you with a hangover, gave you a Vicodin?
Yes.
Great.
That got out of control. You know, I had a history with it. I started abusing that every day. And basically, you know.
And that's when you were living with Miss Rennie?
Correct.
Okay, so you were popping Vicodin, spending your money on pills?
Correct.
Go ahead.
And it helped me function at work. You know, I was hooked on it, whatever. And sometimes I would go through withdrawals. And I was bad. I couldn't go to work. I felt sick. There were several times when she gave me pills just to, so I could go to work, so I wouldn't feel sick.
What kind of pills?
Vicodin, Percocet, basically opiates, whatever would stop me from being sick.
That's untrue. Totally untrue.
So I could go to work and function, and I wouldn't be in withdrawals in front of the kids or whatever she'd say.
Which kids?
Me a couple times, her daughter and her son. So she had given me pills in the past sometimes.
Totally untrue.
Okay. Did you go to the doctor to get yourself straightened out?
I inquired to her that I had a problem and I needed help. She said, well, look online. I was working all the time, so I didn't have time to really just be on the computer, which is should have been my priority, but it wasn't at the time. She looked online for me and found some doctors. I came home. She said, I have a doctor, and basically made me an appointment, and the guy was in that. He made a house call, which was weird to me because it wasn't at a doctor's office. He made house calls. He just showed up in the living room.
And when he came, I assume the living room in her house.
Yes.
What did he do for you?
Well, basically he took my blood pressure, took my heart rate, you know, did some breathing. Then he asked me about my drugs, withdrawal, took very few notes, and wrote me a prescription.
Prescription for what?
Suboxone, which is an opiate blocker. And basically, if you take Suboxone and you take a Vicodin, it'll make you have withdrawals. So one cancels out the other, so you wouldn't be able to take them both. So it helps you, like, you're supposed to wean off of the pills with that. That's what it is.
Now I'll hear your side of the medical story.
Yeah, I never gave him any drugs of any kind.
I just want the doctor.
Okay, yes. He told me that, he actually told me about the drug. I looked it up on the internet. I found the doctor for him. The doctor came to the house. I paid him cash, $250. I have the receipt from the doctor. The prescription was $50 copay. I paid for that as well. Alex had been getting paid and taking all his money out of his bank account and buying drugs immediately. He left me with his ATM card, which I have, which never had anything in it. He started taking the drugs. He was okay. Then he started drinking with them, and we had an incident at the house where he came home late. He forgot his key. My daughter and her friends were there. He was breaking the door down, basically, and at that point, I knew he had to go. So I called his grandmother. She came, picked him up, and moved him out. And, ironic, may I say something? As far as the rent, I know I stated that it was rent, but he showered there. He ate there.
I don't care. I think that this is one of the nuttiest stories that I've actually heard in a very long time.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today.
Who were you going to buy the drugs from?
I wasn't buying them.
You just told me I'm not naming any names. You didn't say to me there was no drug person. You said to me I'm not going to name any names. That's a difference. Do you think you're smarter than I am?
Real cases. Real people. Judge Judy. Deborah Rennie says former tenant George Alex Martinez owes for rent, a doctor's visit, and a prescription for medication to help him detox.
Now, why a woman who has two teenage children, a grown, mature woman, would hang out in a bar, pick up a drug addict in the bar, invite him to come and live in her house, see clearly that he was abusing drugs again, still allowed him to stay in the house even after she got some doctor to come to the house, take a little blood pressure and write a prescription, right? And still allow him to stay in the house with her two teenage children is one of the most bizarre stories from an otherwise seemingly normal person.
I tried to get him out several times, but in New York, apparently you can't. Once you allow someone to stay in your home, you can't get them out.
Well, show me how you tried to get them out. All you have to do is change the locks on the door. He's not a tenant in your house. You don't have a legal apartment. He can't stay there. You don't have a legal
your
place.
Honor, what? She said she tried to get me out. When I had my medication, she locked it in a safe and doled it out to me, like kind of That's complete nonsense. Okay.
And the whole story's just complete nonsense.
Well, yeah, I agree with you.
Whole story's complete nonsense. Listen, are you in a recovery program now?
Yes, I've been clean for going on a year.
Clean from what?
From everything.
Alcohol?
Well, no, I drink occasionally, but I mean, drugs was the main problem.
Miss Rennie, you're very, very lucky, madam. He doesn't owe you any money. He had no contract with you. Goodbye. Case is
not
dismissed.
Not even for
nothing.
Please are excused when they step out.
As far as the rent, whatever, somebody stays in your house, $75 a week is a lot, not a lot of money.
Well, honestly, I put groceries in the fridge.
And I did pay for the doctor and the prescription.
I did pay for a lot of stuff, and I did give him money when I have it.
I will pay you. I will pay you.
So, she just wanted more.
Never did.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Miller versus Sofosnik. Step forward, please.
Angelina Miller is suing her former friend, Edward Sofosnik, for a series of unpaid loans. Edward claims Angelina was giving him money to buy drugs for her.
Mr. Sofosnik, where do you live, sir?
Toms River, New Jersey.
You ever been arrested and or convicted for drug sale or possession?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Now, Miss Miller says she made a series of loans to you. You say there was no such thing as a loan. She was sending you money so that you could fix her up with some drugs. That's your defense. So what I want to know from you is, why in the world would Miss Miller send you money to act as a drug connection for her?
Through a mutual friend.
What does that mean? Through a mutual friend doesn't tell me anything. Miss Miller says she made a series of loans to you. You say there was no such thing as a loan. She was sending you money so that you could fix her up with some drugs. That's your defense.
Okay.
So what I want to know from you is, how did this connection happen?
Okay, well, this connection happened was...
Give me names. I need names.
Okay, I'm not going to give names.
Well, then I can't help you, sir, with your defense.
Well, if you can I explain to you what happened?
If you can explain to me what happened, sir,
okay.
As long as you give me names. If you're not going to give me names, give me nothing.
All right, well, the problem is she had an addiction when I met her, and she gave me the money to help her because her parents are very strict.
So she gave you money to help her
right.
What?
To feed her addiction, but I was no a part of it. She gave
me
the money.
She gave you money.
And I met her down the street and gave her the money back.
No, listen to me. First of all, you don't say that here. Okay. You never say that you gave her the money back. That's not in your answer. You know, you gotta have a good memory if you lie, sir. Why would she give you money in the first place to buy drugs for her?
Because she needed an excuse to take money out of her bank account for her parents. To explain it for her parents, because she has very strict parents.
Who were you going to buy the drugs from?
I wasn't buying them.
You just told me I'm not naming any names. That suggests
I'm not giving
any
names, but I wasn't buying them.
You didn't say to me there was no drug person. You said to me I'm not going to name any names. That's a difference. Do you think you're smarter than I am?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
When she gave you the other money, you weren't giving her the drugs.
No. I gave her money back. Whatever she did with it, that's her business.
So you were being a money launderer.
No, I wasn't being a money launderer.
That's laundering money.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Angelina Miller says former friend Edward Sofosnik owes for a series of unpaid loans. Edward claims Angelina wasn't lending him money. She was paying him to buy drugs for her.
You want me to read you what you wrote? I met Angela through mutual friends. We kind of liked each other and ended up going out to lunch. My truck broke down on March 9th and Angela called me. She wanted me to feed her fix and I knew someone she wanted to make contact with. That's what you wrote. I didn't write that, Mr. Sofosnik. You wrote that.
Right.
She wired me money and told her father it was for a truck. In November, Angie gave me another $300 for the same thing. I guess the person I knew took her money and ran. How does that, took her money and ran? How does that jive with, she gave me the money and then we went down her block and I gave it back to her. Do you understand, Mr. Sofosnik?
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So, it's a good life's lesson. If you tell the truth, you don't need a good memory.
Right.
You didn't even have to remember what you wrote here in your answer if it was the truth. See, but when you make up stories one way and then another way and then you try to fit it in, somebody is always going to be more clever than you are.
Right. I have much respect for you, but I'm not making up my story. you can believe what you want. I do have a lot of respect for you, but I'm not making up my story.
How much money did she send you?
It was 500 something for the first time, and then the check was for 250, which was written in the memo was for painting.
I don't care what it was written in the memo.
Okay, and then...
So far we have about 750.
Okay, then in November, I ran into her again. She gave me another $300.
But you mean all this time, when she gave you the other money, you weren't giving her the drugs?
No. I gave her money back. Whatever she did with it, that's her business.
So you were being a money launderer?
No, I was being a friend to
just
help her out.
No, you were being a money launderer. If she was sending you money and you were giving it to her back...
No, I wasn't being a money launderer.
Listen to me.
Okay.
If she was taking money out from the bank and giving it to you so that, according to her, parents wouldn't know about it, and you were giving it to her back, you were helping her launder the money so that her parents wouldn't know about it.
See, that's where you're wrong. You're saying that so her parents wouldn't know about it. She did it so her parents would know that she's helping a friend out. So that was the way of using her money.
That's laundering money.
No, it's not.
It's not illegal laundering money. It's not illegal laundering money. Do you understand that, Mr. Sofrosnik?
Yeah, I understand that completely.
But what you're saying to me is as follows. Now the story is, she's a drug addict. You're an idiot. She took money out of her bank. She gave it to you. And you knew that it wasn't money that you were going to keep, but you were going to give it back to her so that she could find somebody else to buy drugs from, and she would have the cash to buy it. Now, that's your story, and you're sticking to it? I just want to know what story I'm supposed to buy.
About 90% of it, yes.
I'm interested in 90%.
Okay.
I only know it's 100%. 100% is beyond.
But I don't appreciate being called an idiot.
All right. Okay, good. Just how much money did you send him?
A total of 1,010.
Why?
The reason why is on March 8th, 2010, like I said, we met through a mutual friend that he went to high school with. And $300 I did lend him
for
his painting business. So,
well, explain that to me.
He said he didn't, have the money. He was short on it. I'm the type of person, I'll give the shirt off my back to anybody. So I gave that money and then...
Where'd you get it from?
Myself. And as
from
far...
Where?
My bank account, I work every day. I mean, my parents have no control over my money. He doesn't even know my parents. So, and then later on that night, he texted me, and he's like, can you please, give me a check for $250 to bail my cousin out of jail? I was like, I don't have money on me. I gave you $300 earlier today. You don't need to help out with your business. I don't have any more. He's like, please, please, please. So I wrote him out a check for $250, which I think is funny that he wrote painting house.
Where did you send the check?
Oh, he picked it up at my house at like 11 o'clock at night. Yeah.
Could I see the check, please?
Yep. Sorry about that.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Go ahead.
Hi. So then the next day on March 9, 2010, he called me saying that his truck broke down in Cherry Hill. And he really, in order to make this job, he had to get his truck fixed. So I was nice enough to Western Union the money for $510 total. A week or so later, he gave me back $300 to pay back that debt. And then in June, he gave back $50 that he put in my bank account. So a couple months go by, he then was going to put $25 a week aside to pay back the debt of, $710 that he owed me with the paying back. So he did make an effort of paying the $300 and the $50 to take off of that amount. So then in November, he said that he was diagnosed with stomach cancer, and he came to my job, and he's like, look, if you just please just give me $300, I can quadruple your money and, bring it all back, to pay back the debt. And that's here we stand. So it's...
Well, he doesn't owe you that $300 for sure.
I mean, the thing is,
I actually believe the fact that you were foolish enough to give him money because he played on you. But not that last $300.
No, I understand that, yeah.
Yeah. He must have something. I don't see it.
Oh, thanks
Judge
a lot.
Judge for the plaintiff in the amount of $700. That's all. Step out.
Please excuse me. Step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Do I look like this person that's a drug addict? I mean...
This is why you can't be nice to friends.
Because he does this to everybody.
Bottom line.
he cons people, and he's actually gotten in trouble in the past before.
I'm just gonna leave it at that. I'm just glad it's over with.
Never lend anybody any money, especially a friend.